Lorenzo.
And this is the Pop Style Opinion Fest. Hello, kittens. Welcome back to another edition of the PSO. I am the T in your T-Lo, Tom Fitzgerald. And I'm here with the Low in your T-Lo, Lorenzo Marquez, my lovely husband.
Hello.
It is Oscar week.
I know.
And by that, we mean the week after the Oscars, because you could also use it to mean the week before the Oscars. And we just wrapped up our coverage of the 2023 Oscars. We will not be covering one more thing. But we thought we'd do a little wrap up.
Right. I thought it was fun. Actually, I enjoy when it's one thing, one event, and then just a ton of looks, you know.
Like oh, yeah. I've always said that. When just a little secret in our business, when you have a ton of looks, high-end looks, like the Oscars or the SAG Awards or the Met Gala, our work is much easier. Actually.
Yeah, it and it's one event.
So you know, much easier to write about a $2 million gown. You know what I mean? Like, and one right after another than it is, you know, to just to sort of patch together content from a bunch of different events.
And I thought it was fun that we added like on stage and backstage pictures so that you can get the same look in different, you know, rooms and lighting and situations, because it does change the way you look at the dress as opposed to just always posing on the red carpet.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking more or less specifically and solely about the Oscars red carpet. Not about the fashions themselves, because honestly, we've exhausted that. If you want to read our thoughts, if you want to know our thoughts on the fashions from the Oscars this year, by all means, go to TomandLorenzo.com. But there were a few red carpet incidents or moments that really made us, we've been talking about it all week, the two of us, and actually a couple of those moments went viral, so everybody else has been talking about them as well. But before we get into all of that, what generally, what did you think of the Oscars? Let me say what I thought, and then I'll talk to you. It felt like a nice return to form and tradition. They brought all of the categories back because last year they didn't televise some of the categories. True. And they brought a single host back with Jimmy Kimmel, who, you know, whatever else you can say about him, I think Jimmy Kimmel can be really obnoxious at times, but he is very, very good at that.
He understands the room. He understands where he is.
And he also understands how to straddle that line between paying reverence or paying tribute to the evening, but also puncturing the self-importance of it without being an asshole, like without being a Ricky Gervais type. He's not my favorite person in the world. I don't hate him or anything, but he's good at that. And I think he handled the job well, and it was just a nice return to form. Too many jokes about the slap last year, and I was like, can we just please get past all this? I don't want to hear about this. I'm not traumatized by it, but could we just please get over it?
But I feel like he had to address it anyway. Otherwise, people would say, well, nobody mentioned the, you know.
I didn't think so at all. I didn't think he had to address it. But whatever. I do. But I am more or less okay with the way the voting shook out. There's always disappointments. I really felt like Angela Bassett was going to win it. And we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, it's hard not to get caught up in the emotion of watching someone like Ke Huy Quan win or Michelle Yeoh win or even Jamie Lee Curtis, who is like this daughter of Hollywood. Everybody in the room knows her, has known her for 40 years. So all of that's, it's just fun. And it was uncontroversial in most ways. It seems like there's always some sort of viral moment or controversy with the Oscars. But this year, it largely went off without a hitch, and I enjoyed it. I understand that it's not for everyone. 4 hours of back padding can be a lot to watch. But for those of us who enjoyed that sort of thing, I enjoyed this sort of thing. So what did you think of the ceremony this year?
No, I thought it was kind of formal and quiet and respectful, as you said, down to the way people dressed, you know, and presenting themselves and whatever they said on stage. I thought people were trying very hard to be nice and
on their best behavior.
On their best behavior, you know, in general, I thought. I was happy for a lot of people. Even, you know, I feel very bad for Angela Bassett. I do, because I think she is a powerhouse. She's an amazing actor. And that was her moment. I find it very hard. I can't even imagine what else she's going to do that she's going to be nominated for something else. Maybe, who knows?
You never know. I mean,
you never know, but it felt like this was her moment. But also Jamie Lee Curtis, I love her. I think she's amazing. If you follow her on Instagram, she's very upbeat. She's just friendly and sweet. And she's very Hollywood, you know, in a sense that, you know, her parents were, you know, actors and she I watch TCM a lot, and she there's a segment of her talking about her mother. And it's the sweetest thing because she really talks about Hollywood and how much that meant to her family, her growing up. So when she went up on stage and said, you know, mentioned her mother and said, you know, I have an Oscar. I mean, I understand, you know, why it's so exciting for her to finally get one. Wasn't the best performance, I don't think, if you, you know, go and pick one, the best one.
I mean, we say this every year.
Right.
But the Oscar is a popularity contest. It doesn't go to the best performance.
Right.
It goes to the most, you know, popular performance. And that's why it's not really finally an arbiter of quality. On the flip side of that, though, you can't be too dismissive of what an Oscar means, because
right.
to those people who get shut out of getting Oscars, and, you know, best, you know, it's very, very hard for a woman of color to win a Best Actress Oscar, despite Michelle Yeoh winning it this year. It has been 20 years since the last time it happened, and the last time it happened was the first time it happened. So,
in 100 years.
Yeah. So, you have to be careful not to completely dismiss the importance of the Oscars, because to the people who are getting denied a chance to have an Oscar, that there is some importance there. I said this before about Viola Davis, for good or for ill, however you want to look at her career and whether or not this is a worthy goal. I think it's really clear that someone like that has made it her life's goal. She's going to knock down that wall. She's going to get that
right.
Best Act. That's why her not getting nominated felt like such a blow, because to the people who follow her career and were rooting for her, it was so clear how hard she was working towards that goal, and always is. And when every one of her roles, she's working towards that goal. She's very, very focused on that. I'm not saying, you know, she's not an artist or anything like that, but I think she understands the importance
right.
of knocking these barriers down.
But unfortunately, the way it works with the Oscars is that they focus on one thing, on one movie, and this time was Everything. So Everything, excuse me, Everything was going to win Everything. So
you mean Everything Everywhere? Or
yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
That's the movie. So, so I felt like, yes, they're going to give it to everybody. And I feel that's kind of like why Jamie Lee Curtis won in a way, because everyone was getting one.
And that's sort of why, I mean, everyone's allowed to have their favorites, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people were saying Stephanie Hsu got robbed. And of course she was worthy. She was, but I never thought she was really in the running for it, because it was so clear that the film was going to get so rewarded, somebody had to not win.
Right.
So the only disappointment and surprise was Jamie Lee Curtis winning. And for me, it's because I thought Angela Bassett was going to win.
I thought so too, yeah.
And
everybody did.
Yeah, well, I think she did too. We're bringing this up because one of the minor controversies that arose this year was that Jamie Lee Curtis won. It was a huge surprise to Jamie Lee Curtis. The first thing she said was shut the hell up or something like that. She didn't say shut the fuck up, I know that. So it became a thing because Angela Bassett didn't clap and didn't join in on the standing ovation. And everybody started taking her to task for this and everything. And I don't think she acted badly in any way, shape, or form. She didn't make a face. She didn't cry out. People in the past have gotten angry on camera that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that isn't what happened. What I saw was a woman who was puffed up, really thought it was happening. Like, I saw her interviews on the way in
right,
the door
right,
that
right.
night. And I think she really thought she had it in the bag. And maybe she shouldn't have thought that way. That's, you know, whatever. But
it was a real surprise.
It was a human
reaction. Yeah, it's just
reaction.
Human reaction. I agree.
We expect these people to act like dolls and puppets in front of us. And as long as she didn't act badly, and no, she didn't act badly.
She was disappointed,
right. And she couldn't, in the moment, keep that off of her face.
Which is fine. I mean, I don't see a problem with that. I mean, I've read many interviews with actors saying that they hate that moment because they know
it's
the camera,
a terrible moment.
You know, your emotions are all over the place, and then there's a camera right there waiting for your reaction. So, yeah.
And in order to get through it, you almost certainly have to react in the fakest possible manner.
Right.
And some people in that moment, they're not feeling it. I don't feel bad for her at all. I do feel bad for her, but I don't blame her at all for this. And I think there was an undertone between this and there was another minor kerfuffle. I feel bad because I'm springing this on Lorenzo.
Oh no! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm showing him the picture. We didn't talk about this ahead of time, but I'm relating it to Angela Bassett, the Nigerian singer songwriter Tems, who was in the audience. She was nominated for the Rihanna song from Black Panther. She was in this, enveloped in this. It was actually fabulous. We actually didn't get red carpet. Well, we don't cover people, you know, singer-songwriters.
It's too many people. We
tend to keep the A-listers on. But it was a fabulous look. I'm pretty sure most of you listening probably saw it. She was enveloped in like white tulle and organza, and it wrapped around her head, and it was very dramatic and beautiful. However, when she sat in her seat, she was blocking the view of the people behind her, and this went viral. And it was all this shit about her being rude and ungrateful that was also going on at the same time Angela Bassett was being called rude and ungrateful. And to me, I'm not saying everyone who mentioned these things is racist or anything like that, but there was a weird racial undertone of yelling at Black women in the audience for not acting correctly in a year when there was a lot of disappointment as to how Black women were treated by the Academy. It just felt weird to me.
Right.
And I was like, the timing of this, I'm not suggesting it's insidious. I just think the undertone sucks.
Right. I mean, I saw the picture of her.
She looked fabulous.
And I laughed. I mean, I'm sure if I were sitting behind her, I'd be pissed because you can't see anything.
It's an auditorium with raised seating.
But even so.
And it is a massive stage. I doubt very much the person behind her could not. We're not talking a movie theater here.
Right. Yeah,
I'm sure the person behind her could see the stage.
I laugh because that has happened during Fashion Week too. Like when
sitting
someone
behind people, yeah.
Yeah, with a big hat or whatever. And you're like, oh my God, I can't see anything. But what are you going to do?
It's a night for elaborate fashion. It's a night for grabbing the spotlight and putting it on you. And I didn't see anything wrong with doing it. And I felt that there was a gross little undertone of calling these women ungrateful and rude.
Right. I mean, especially because everyone was rooting for Angela Bassett. So to flip the coin like that and then, you know, just blame
suddenly
her for not reacting.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Come
on. It was a little gross
to me. It's disappointing. Everyone was disappointed. And so she was.
But anyway.
So was she, I mean.
So was she. But anyway, it was a perfectly fine evening. Yeah. I was happy with how everything shook out. Very happy for Kehoe Kwan and Michelle Yeoh. Really, really well deserved.
Right.
Now that the furor has died down, I'm going to stick my neck out and say that I loved their performances and I loved that movie, but I do think the movie itself is a little overpraised. They are not. They absolutely were fantastic in that movie. The whole cast was.
Right.
But the movie itself was, I'm honestly surprised at how much it swept the Oscars. Because, I mean, there was a time when prognosticators were saying it didn't have a good chance because it was such a bizarre movie.
Right.
It had butt plugs in it and martial arts and multiverse and crazy costumes and everything.
I forgot about the butt plugs.
Oh, the butt plugs.
I forgot about
Anyway,
I think...
So it is... a test. I mean, it is actually a good thing that such a bizarre, it's there in no way was this an Oscar bait kind of movie. It was bizarre and creative and interesting. I think it was a little overpraised, but I am happy with how things have shook out. And I think it's a good thing that weird movies are getting rewarded.
I agree. I totally agree. I mean, I thought if you're an actor and you're in that movie, I mean, it's a dream come true because you get to play all those different characters and situations. I
exactly.
mean, you get to explore and expand your horizons and, you know, and show how good you are. And I think that's what Michelle Yeoh, Jamie Lee Curtis, and he...
Kehoe Kwan
did. They all did amazing
jobs. And Stephanie
Sue. Yes, yes. So they all did amazing jobs because they had that type of role. But the movie, yeah, I agree. It's not a great movie, but it was extremely entertaining.
And creative.
And creative.
And that's good enough to win an
Oscar.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
By the end of it, I was like, oh my God, what did I just watch?
That's a better choice for Best Picture, in my view, than something like The Fabelmans or Elvis, which is just such Oscar bait material. It's nice to see it's not a biopic or a historical drama. No one's wearing a ball gown. Well, actually... Michelle Yeoh did wear a ball gown.
I actually thought Spielberg was going to win everything, but anyway,
I didn't. I never thought
the
that.
The movie and direction.
No, I never thought that. Anyway, moving on to matters of the red carpet, which is really our area of expertise.
Yeah.
We did an interview. We'll link to it in the post for this podcast on our site. We never got around. I don't think we linked to it on the site before today.
No, probably not.
We did an interview last week with the Wall Street Journal. about the status of the red carpet, and a bunch of other people were interviewed, and I think we got 2 sound bites in the whole thing, but it really had us talking all week long about the poor state of red carpet hosting, red carpet, I don't even know what to call it. Red carpet commentary is what we do, but when someone stands on a red carpet interviewing, I guess,
yeah.
The people who do, it's never been as dire as it is now. It's just a bad landscape. When we started off, I think it was at the tail end of the Joan Rivers years, and then we spent a decade or so alongside Juliana Rancic Ryan Seacrest suffering through there. But I will say, in retrospect, they both knew what they were doing, even though they used to frustrate the hell out of us. And now we're in a situation where they will just throw anybody out there with a microphone and ask them to interview. And it's painful to watch, and it defeats, in a lot of ways, it defeats the purpose of something like the Oscars red carpet. Let's focus specifically on the piece that went viral this year, which was Ashley Graham at the ABC Live from the red carpet pre-show event interviewing Hugh Grant, and it was a disastrous interview, and it went viral, and people came down on various sides of whether it was her fault or his fault. The ABC red carpet coverage, we almost never watch when we're trying to do live tweeting, because we're trying to get looks at the outfits and information about the outfits. And that show is very much not about that. That show is about highlighting the stars and interviewing and just doing very fluffy, light, softball interviews with these stars. Are you excited about tonight kind of stuff? Stupid shit. I get it that as a star, you probably find this sort of thing dumb. On the other hand, Hugh Grant, he was walking the ABC red carpet. He was walking the red carpet, and he was stopped by Ashley Graham, the model, who was one of the hosts of the red carpet for ABC. And she lobbed the most softball, inane questions at him. And one of the things that annoyed me later is a bunch of people were mad at her because they were like, she didn't do her research and she shouldn't. And it's like, listen, this isn't journalism. This is as fluffy as entertainment and journalism gets. I agree that we shouldn't be putting models up there. But I also don't think she asked anything that was...
No.
This is what they ask.
It's very interesting, the whole conversation on social media, because people have written articles about it, like, blaming her. Because, you know, this is the best opportunity to talk about how they're not using real reporters on the red carpet. So... reporters on social media started writing pieces about that because, yeah, that's the opportunity for me to talk about my job, which is fine.
Right.
But you can't really blame her because this is the kind of people that they're using right now. Just famous people.
Right.
Just famous people. They use, I forget her name. She has a YouTube video, a YouTube channel. I forget her name. She did the Met Gala. Same thing.
Right.
They're just using famous people and they're not prepared. They don't have a background in journalism or whatever. They just don't know how to do the job. And so he throws the expression Vanity Fair because she asked I forget what the question was, but he was mentioning that the place was chaotic and it was like a Vanity Fair type of place situation. And she got it confused with the Vanity Fair party. Oscar party.
And everybody trashed her for this. But I just want to say right here, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And they were all blaming her. That's the part they were saying, well, she should have done her research. Well, research. How the hell is she supposed to know that he's going to use the expression Vanity Fair? What kind of research is that?
I mean,
it's so dumb.
What does that have to do with the Oscars,
his
career,
right.
The fashion, the night, nothing. Listen, everyone, Lorenzo tweeted and he called him an asshole.
And I'll tell you, I'm going to say why.
And everybody came down hard on him. But before we turned on the mics, we talked this out ourselves. And I'm not mad at Hugh Grant. That is basically what Hugh Grant is like in any interview. Like, I don't feel like he was disrespecting Ashley Graham specifically, because he would be that obnoxious with Jimmy Kimmel, with Graham Norton, with any other interviewer up there. Because if you've ever watched a Hugh Grant interview, he is dry. He is sarcastic. He is constantly self-deprecating, like making fun of himself, and at the same time he will also make fun of the interviewer. That is just the way he is. On the other hand, he wasn't just wandering through. He was a presenter at on the Oscar stage that year. And with that comes a certain amount of stuff. And it's not stuff that Hugh Grant is ignorant of, because everyone's like, oh, it's just English humor. And I'm like, yeah, listen, I've been a follower and an appreciator of English humor, but most of my life. And I agree, that sort of self-deprecating, sarcastic, dry response, that is English humor. And that would actually be a hilarious interview if it was him and Graham Norton going back and forth. But you've been an international star for 40 years.
In
you
Hollywood
know what
forever.
The Oscars yeah. are. You know what Hollywood is like. You knew exactly what this interview was going to be like when you looked at the person interviewing. No tea, no shade against Ashley Graham, but she's clearly not going to be giving you some sort of heart-ending. Like, just read the room, Hugh Grant.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you're an asshole. I don't think he singled her out. I think he would have treated anybody that way.
Right.
But, I mean, he rolled his eyes at her at one point. It wasn't just that he was making, you know, commentary that was a little hard to follow. Is he was openly disdainful of her.
Right.
And he sort of almost threw the microphone back at her when he was done. And, again, not offended, not mad. I hope she rolls with it because she was paid well. Like, it's
right.
fine.
She gave interviews later and said she was fine. She learned to be polite. You know,
right.
my mother taught me to be always kind and nice. And, you know, there's a lesson here. That's how he should have. As you said, read the room, but not just read the room, respect the room. This is where
if
you are.
If an American actor was at the BAFTAs and pulled some stunt that was obnoxious in the context of being on a British red carpet, everybody in the British press would have said, you need to act like, you know, this is where you... So Hugh Grant, you're in Hollywood. Like you, and you know what that means. And you know it's vapid. And you've agreed to present at the Oscars. Suck it up and just get through the interview without looking like you hate the person interviewing you.
He didn't like any of the questions. And
they were dumb. They were dumb questions.
They were dumb questions, of course. And then you can see that she's getting more and more, like, afraid. I mean, she's just getting, like, you know, very uncomfortable asking more questions.
Confused.
But, you know, confused. And she asked the question, who are you wearing? And he said, something I have. No, something mine or I forget, whatever. And, you know, that I pulled out of my closet, but it's mine. Yeah, he said it's mine or something like that. And she didn't go with it. She could have just said, oh, okay, so it must be, it looks great on you. That's why you kept it in your closet, blah, blah,
right.
blah. I mean, just she doesn't have the equipment, you know,
no.
or the experience to go with it. She just, that's the only time that I was like, oh, my God, lady. She says, well, but you didn't make it, did you? And that was just like, oh.
Having said that, I do think, and this leads us to a larger point about today's podcast, is as much as I think Hugh Grant should have sucked it up and should have just read the room and, you know, whatever, there's no denying that the state of red carpet interviewing is, as I said earlier, just dire as hell. And we need to talk about Laverne Cox.
Right. But before I talk about Laverne Cox, I think what's happening right now is that before people, like, you know, people could say anything, could make any jokes, politically incorrect jokes, you know, could ask about what they were with no problem. I mean, there was a time when you could do all that and that wasn't criticized. Then all of a sudden you couldn't talk about it anymore, about anything. You couldn't ask them what they were and could ask anything. And now we're like in sort of this in between when you can or you can't, depending on the situation. And you see Laverne Cox doing that all the time. Sometimes she asks what they're wearing, ask everything about what they're wearing, and sometimes she avoids the question altogether. So, and you like, and you watching TV expecting that information, you're like, oh, what happened? You didn't ask her. You didn't ask him.
Yeah. The thing about, when Laverne was first announced as an E-Red corporate host, I thought, oh, that's good. That's fun. She loves fashion. Celebrities love her.
Right.
And, you know, the E-Red carpet situation had been pretty dire since Juliana and Ryan had faded away. They have a bunch of these nothing people that sit on couches and yell at each other about fashion, and it's just horrible. They didn't have Brad Goreski this year, I guess because of his WeHo show or something. Laverne, she's actually terrible. And as bad as Ashley Graham was, I didn't think that was as bad as most of Laverne's interviews. The problem is Laverne, She gets all caught up and excited. And I believe that excitement is genuine. She loves celebrities. She loves these events and loves the fashion. Mm-hmm. But she has zero camera training for that kind of work. Right. And or if she does, it hasn't taken, because all she does is scream and oh my God, and every look is legendary, and every person she interviews is iconic. And I mean, she literally just uses legendary and iconic over and over and over again. And listen, I'm sure I probably overuse those words too. In our line of business, you're going to use those kind of words. But it's with every single person. Mm-hmm. She's screaming in people's faces. She's not reacting to the things they're saying. You can tell that people are talking in her earpiece and she can't handle juggling talking with a person and listening to who's... It's a skill set. And before anybody else... Like, we're sitting here criticizing all of these people. Believe me, it's not a job we want. I'm not saying I would do a better job at it. Absolutely not. I'm not good on camera. I don't think either one of us are. No. And I don't pursue that kind of work. But she's ill-prepared, and it's I think she probably does prepare. I think she has like set questions that she wants to ask people. I think she's being fed stuff in her earpiece, but I think she gets extremely flustered and extremely excited. And it is painful to watch. She's generally just throwing the same question, same sort of inane questions out again and again and again. And I guess my point to all of this is, and we said this in the Wall Street Journal thing, I don't understand why we're still fucking around with what the red carpet is. I realize that we had that Ask Her More campaign many, mm-hmm. many years ago, but people need to get the fuck over it, because the only people who watch the red carpet are people who want to know about the fashion and see the fashion. They don't really want to hear these dumb questions like, are you excited about tonight? It's the Oscars. They're all excited about tonight. Stop asking.
Or they'll say they are. I mean, they're going to say I'm not.
It's a stupid-ass question. Joan Rivers, man, she got to the point, and I understand. I understand that people don't want that kind of obnoxious sort of...
Right, again.
It makes people uncomfortable, and I don't either. Like, Joan was problematic in a lot of ways. But the question was... It was the question. Who are you wearing? Just tell us who you're wearing. The thing with, and we mentioned this in the Wall Street Journal piece, the thing, Laverne's question is always, tell us what is the story you're trying to tell with this ensemble, darling? Mm-hmm. Like, she asks everybody that. And most people are not inclined to speak of fashion in that way. They're not inclined to say, well, the story I'm trying to... So you're throwing them off right away.
I know.
Like, even if you asked me, and I've been writing about fashion for 17 years, if you asked me on the fly, what kind of story are you trying to tell? That would take me... I don't know. I picked it because it looked good on me, or because it's yellow, or what the hell ever. And to avoid that problem, all you have to do is ask them who they're wearing. And I know some stars don't like it, but for the most part, when someone asks them a fashion-related question on the red carpet, most of them are quick with the designer's name and the jewelry's name, or they'll mention their stylist or stuff like that. I really don't think stars are as offended by that question as you think. Stars in that situation want a series of questions that aren't going to make them uncomfortable or look like an idiot. So what story are you telling me with this dress? Is a lot harder to answer than who are you wearing?
Right. If you go back and read the history of the red carpet back in the 40s, 50s, or whatever, it was always about seeing the stars in person.
It wasn't about
on
fashion.
The red carpet, and then about and sort of like how glamorous they look,
right,
and how they presented themselves. And this is it. That's the red carpet, and a whole industry was created based on that. Christian Siriano talked about addressing some of the stars, and he talked a little bit, which was great. He talked a little bit about how stressful it is, making the gown, how many hours, how many days. I mean, sometimes you read how many days, how many hours it took them, you know, all the employees to beat that dress and to, you know, put all the crystals and jewelry on the dress, hours and hours and hours. It's a lot of work.
Right.
It's a lot of money that the houses spend to dress these people for free.
Right.
So you understand, you know that you're wearing a $15,000, $20,000 gown because someone gave it to you to wear.
Right.
So the least you can do in that situation is to mention the designer. I don't understand.
There's so many people in fashion and in Hollywood and in PR who who really overcomplicate this question as people who make our living doing this. It's not a complicated question. People watch the red carpet not because they want to hear about someone's hopes and fears and dreams for the night. They want to see what the fuck they're wearing. And they want to judge it, and they want to make fun of it, or they want to ooh and ah over it, and they want it to go viral. I mean, when we live tweet a major red carpet like the Met Gala or the Oscars, every one of our posts goes minorly viral. Every one of our posts has 30 to 40 to 50,000 views, not posts, tweets, 30 to 40 to 50,000 views on it. Because that's why people watch red. Right. The people who aren't interested in fashion, they're not watching the red carpet. They'll watch the Oscars. So I just wish all the people involved in this would stop being so precious about it. You are all wearing borrowed jewelry and borrowed gowns, and a ton of money is on the line, and a ton of people work to make you look that good because you want to look as good as you possibly can on one of the biggest career nights of your life. Why be coy about this? We all know that's the
score. If you answer the question quickly, it's over and done in a second. If you just say, well, I don't know, I'm wearing Calvin Klein.
I'm wearing Dior. I loved it. Yeah. The color looks great on me. Anyway, I'm so excited about tonight. Like, there's no...
Boom, done.
And I've said this before. If it were me, I would never want to host or be on camera, but I think if you ask me to produce a red carpet show, I think I would probably want to try it out because I do have ideas. One of the things that I would go for is you have all these production assistants and people behind the scenes researching and stuff like that. You put every publicist and every stylist in a master document and you check with them the hour before their clients are supposed to arrive. And if you find out who they're wearing down to the shoes and the jewelry, why not just put that up on the screen like a sports statistic? You interview the person and there's a chyron that says Michelle Yeoh is wearing Armani Privé tonight or something like that.
Right.
According to her stylist, you know, Michelle Yeoh is blah, blah, blah. Her earrings are by Bulgari. You know, that sort of thing. People would eat that shit up. I don't understand. And you don't have to bother them with
it. You don't have to ask them.
Just find out from this. The only problem with that is a lot of stars make last second choices.
Right. But once they're on the red carpet, you have the information.
You should have that information.
Not like she's going to turn around and change. Like,
that stylist should be texting the producer at E as they're getting out of the limo so that they can prepare a chyron. Like, that's how I would do it. People want to know the fashion stuff. If the celebrities aren't good at answering that question, and so far the interviewers aren't good at asking that question, just get the information and put it up on the screen like it's a sports thing. I would eat that shit up, and I think most people would too. And that's better advertising for the designers. Like, you're going to see Dior's name up on a screen rather than someone stumbling over trying to remember who designed it.
Or maybe knowing ahead of time and then say, oh my God, I love your Dior dress, you know?
Exactly.
That's much better.
I love your dress. I heard it was Dior.
Exactly. See?
Well, it's not hard, people. It's not hard. You don't have to make it uncomfortable and you don't have to make it weird. And if rather than asking these inane, are you excited tonight? What are you hoping
story
for tonight?
Blah, 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 blah.
Ask them some silly joke question and just put them on the, you know, just joke around with them while we find out what they're wearing. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. Did you have fun this season? Blah, blah, blah. Sometimes they're okay to sit through, but most times they're really, really awkward. And I do have a lot of sympathy because any red carpet situation is chaotic, but something like the Oscars is insanely chaotic. The press from all over. I'm sure many of you have seen the videos walking through that sort of tent to get inside the auditorium. The insane number of cameras and reporters and the number of times that people have to stop and answer the same questions over and over and over again. I get it. I get how hard that is. And you're a person there with a microphone trying to get information, trying not to look like an idiot on camera. There's someone yelling stuff into your ear and there's just a cacophony of noise around you. Every time I watch Laverne Cox, that's what I'm aware of because she is so clearly overwhelmed by everything going on around her that she cannot be smooth.
Right, right.
And that's the stuff that she needs work on. Now, going back to Christian Siriac, because he was the other point I wanted to bring up this podcast. Christian sat in on the couch people who were all across the street on the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum for E! And was giving running commentary. And the thing is, he fucking bodied them all. They all looked like idiots next to him.
I loved his commentary.
Remember, this guy came up on Project Runway and it was a viral sensation because he had such a sassy attitude. He's very comfortable on camera. He's been on camera for over 10 years now. very comfortable in a Hollywood setting and very secure in himself, so that he sat there and he was actually giving running commentary on the gowns and making critical comments, not nasty comments. No. Like, I'm at one point, Ariana DeBose's Versace gown, he's like, it's a little overworked. I would probably not have done those sleeves.
Or I didn't like the color or something like that. Yeah.
And then, which was awesome. And I like sat up straight in my chair because I'm like, you never hear this on E! Anymore. And now, bear in mind, he wasn't doing this in front of people. No. He was across the street. But suddenly, in the middle of it, he's like, oh, I should probably shut up. I don't think I should be allowed to say this. And I guarantee someone said something in his ear.
Because Donatella Versace had been interviewed before.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yes. And it was a Versace gown.
Yes. So that's it. You're not supposed to criticize her or she'll never show up again.
This is the shitty nature of, and not to toot our own horns, but this is why you should support us, why you should support the Fug Girls.
And it was
we
awesome.
Are independent media, and we are not beholden to making sure that celebrities aren't mad at us.
It was interesting to have him there because he makes dresses. You know, he creates dresses. And at some point, it was hilarious. Somebody was saying, well, this gown has, I don't know, 50,000, you know, crystals or whatever. And then he said, really?
Yeah, I don't buy that. I loved that.
And then they showed another gown and mentioned, you know, thousands of crystals. And he was like, yeah, that one I can see.
Because he has the technical know-how. He has dressed a million stars. He knows the red carpet really, really well. Unfortunately, as good as he would be at the... And he would be great at the interviews. But unfortunately, the E! And obviously ABC is not going to put that kind of, true commentary on the air, because these celebrity events have to be perfectly self, you know, inflating, and everyone has, you know, you never say anything bad. Everybody's legendary. Everybody's iconic. Every dress is fabulous.
Fabulous.
Everybody looks perfect. That's all they're allowed to say. And when you set up a situation where no one's allowed to talk about the fashion, no one's allowed to say anything even vaguely critical, it's just the most inane puffery. It's just dumb questions, and it's just a lack of content. It's such a shame to me, because I know for a fact that people like to look at this stuff. They like to talk about this stuff. They want to hear about this stuff. And everybody involved in red carpet production, you know, the kind of stuff that you watch on TV, acts like it's some sort of dirty little thing they all have to get through.
I agree. It's like what fashion police had to a certain extent until they you know, started making jokes that were very, very wrong. But they had that kind of commentary.
Right.
They would pick the best dress or whatever and talk about what they liked, didn't like, and so on. They were a little more real, more, you know, honest about how they felt. During the red carpet, no, everything is wonderful. They love everything. You know, the designers are amazing. Everyone is amazing. And, you know, that's how they keep their jobs. That's how they keep coming back every year.
Yeah, but it's a shame.
It is a shame. Yeah, I agree.
And I think that this whole Ashley Graham, Hugh Grant thing is just what happens when you remove anything of interest or meaning out of this sort of venue, when you're stuck with stupid shit like that.
I think with those two, and I called him an asshole on Twitter, and I stand by what I said, because I think he has enough experience to read the room, understand that she is confused, not experienced, and be a little nicer to her, number one. And she didn't have the experience to navigate those, you know, troubled waters called your brand. So that's what happened there.
But I do tend to have more, even though I think she's completely unprepared and she's wrong for the job, interviewing people is not easy.
No.
It is extremely nerve-wracking.
Especially live.
Doing it live, I cannot even imagine how hard that job is. And yes, that's an argument for why you should have well-trained people in there. But it's also an argument as to why the person being interviewed should be a little understanding of how difficult it is on the other side of that microphone. You may be tired of answering dumb questions, but, you know, she got hired to ask you those questions. Just be nice to her. You don't have to kiss her ass or anything. And you can even joke around with her and joke about how dumb the questions are. But don't make her uncomfortable.
Right. I think that's the problem there, is that he gave her no room to feel a little more comfortable with her. He just kept being nastier and nastier and rude. I mean, he was just rude the whole time. I mean, to the end, until the end when he pretty much dropped the microphone.
Right.
It was just...
Listen,
awkward.
I like him. I think he's really funny. I don't think he's an asshole. I do understand the kind of humor that he's doing. But I also I really, truly, 100%, the longer I'm doing this job, the more I don't have time for this bullshit that you're too good for the Oscars.
Right.
While you're standing on the Oscars red carpet. It was sort of the same thing with Cate Blanchett when she was doing that whole awards don't matter and it's patriarchal. And it's like, okay, honey, but you're also hitting every red carpet.
Every single one of them.
Every one of the costume designers, directors, writers guild, every single one of them. So I get it. It's a ploy to pretend that you're not really, you know, a careerist, that you're not really here to promote yourself. But it's just lame as hell. Yes, the Oscars are a vanity fair, to quote Hugh Grant, but it's been going on for 100 years. It is what it is. People watch it because they want to watch it. And you acting like you're too good for it. Well, okay, fine. I don't even begrudge you that, but why are you there then?
Or just avoid them. Avoid everything altogether. You don't do the red carpet.
You don't have to be doing presentations. Right. You don't have to. You could just, you know, whatever.
You just walk in and go on stage when you have to and then back to your limo.
Lots of people skip.
Right.
Tom Cruise didn't go this year, and the rumor was it's because Nicole was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes. I actually thought he was going to be there because, I mean, it was his big triumphant, you know, he saved the movie industry with Top Gun this year, but she was there and he didn't show up and people were saying that's why.
Huh. Oh. They were also saying that she was acting a little crazy on the red carpet.
This is what happens when people don't understand, like all you see are still images of people. You don't understand, like posing looks weird when you're doing it. You've got to shake your head. You've got to stare real hard at the camera. You're doing all sorts of weird stuff. And video of her doing that. And I mean, I will admit that Nicole she's a little off. She's always been a little off. Remember that video of her clapping with the rings and like that?
Everyone was
always been a little bit off. That's just who she is. I did think that video of her going viral was a little silly.
I think she's amazing. I love her.
Anyway, it's a short podcast this week. We just wanted to wrap up our thoughts on some Oscars stuff. We will actually be dropping another podcast early in the week next week because we leave for Monday for our trip to Europe and we're going to just record that one before we go.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of...
Yeah, I am not recording a podcast in a hotel room.
No.
Not going to happen.
But we have a bunch of hot topics to talk about for that one as well. And that's dropping in like 5 days. So we'll be back then. Until then, take care of yourselves. Love you. Mean it. Bye-bye.
Bye.